Well, on my recent 3-month sabbatical, I did one thing that perhaps more than anything else allowed me to unplug from work. To set aside work responsibilities and to step back and try to enter a season of rest and restoration. And that one thing that probably helped more than anything else was I turned off my work email. Anyone ever turned off your work email for a season? Okay, you have my permission this week. Just leave it off all week and see what happens. I told my colleagues, I'm not going to be able to talk or to converse about work-related stuff. And our team was really great about that. Lydia and Alvin and others really respected that. They checked in with me personally. And all my colleagues got this except for one. And I noticed that I was getting emails on my personal email account from one particular colleague. I thought, what could be so important that you need to contact me? And so I read the email and it said something like this: Dear Jade, I hope you're well. I'm traveling and I lost my wallet and I'm wondering if you can wire me $300 as soon as possible. I'll pay you back when I return, I promise. Signed, Ken Shigematsu. Now, right away, I knew it wasn't Ken. I looked at the email, and it was some weird, strange email that didn't look like Ken's. I also knew it wasn't Ken, because if it was really Ken, he would ask for a lot more than 300. I'm thinking 500, 700. He's a smart guy. Do you get a lot of these emails? I seem to get a lot of them. You know, I'm the son of the deposed king of Nigeria, and could you help? Some of them are obvious, but some of them are quite subtle, and they can be very deceiving. And I cringe to think that somebody else is getting emails from Ken Shigematsu and maybe sending money. If that was you, I'm sorry. I've just ruined your Sunday for you. You know, these emails, these so-called phishing emails, misinformation, false claims are everywhere. It seems like every other day I'm hearing the term fake news. And I'm not sure, is it fake news or is the claim just another attempt to deceive and cover up something? I don't know. We're living in a time where we need, perhaps more than anything else, discernment. We need to be wise and discerning to tell truth from untruth. Well, Jesus' world seems very different from ours, but in this regard, it actually wasn't. Because one day, Jesus, at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, warns his followers about this exact thing. He's urging them to pay attention, to stay alert, and to be discerning. Well, what does he say? Well, let's take a look. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Matthew 7. It's also going to be on the screen, and I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. So this is God's Word. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Pray with me. So, living God, we believe that you said these words and they were recorded for our benefit. Yes, they spoke to the people 2,000 years ago, but in an incredible way, they speak to us today. They call us to something, to discernment. They grab our attention, and we want to be wise. We want to be receptive to what you might have to say for us. Maybe our first glance is, oh, I don't have a problem with this. And yet, Would you help us in a new way, in a fresh way, to see what you're calling us to? How this is important for our lives today? So Spirit of God, shine a light on this text and shine a light on our own hearts and minds, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. So if you're just joining us, we're in the middle. Well, we're actually near the end of the world's greatest ever talk. It's not a TED talk on YouTube. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, words given by Jesus. And we've been working our way through this famous sermon. And we're coming to the end where Jesus is not introducing new material, but he's giving a set of warnings. I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't really love preaching warning texts. When I came back and Alvin said, here's where we're at in the series, and I saw that, you know, the next three sermons were warning texts, I thought, can you give me another topic, Alvin? Is there another option here? But this is what happens in the Sermon on the Mount. And we need to understand these warnings, not as a parental finger wagging at us, but to keep in mind the context of what's been happening and to hear the heart behind it. That Jesus is about more than warning us, and yet he does not want us, as followers, to be naive. He does not want us to be fooled. He does not want us to be duped, to have someone come along after he's done teaching and say, you don't really need to listen to all that. I have a shortcut. I have something more enticing for you. This week as I was reading, I thought about a financial literacy course that my wife Brandy and I went to when we were first married. And it was not very glamorous topics. It was things like saving and investing and budgeting and how to pinch those pennies and make that dollar go a little bit further. Not glamorous stuff, but good stuff, important stuff. And a few months after we went to this financial literacy course, we met an individual who gave us an exciting business opportunity. He said, you know, if you get in on the ground level on this exciting new business that I can offer you, and he promised untold riches and wealth. And he was basically saying, you don't really need to save and you don't need to budget. I've got a shortcut for you. Well, fortunately, Brandy and I knew enough to be wary of such an offer and to stand back and go, really? Would that really help us out, or is there more to this? Do we need to be suspicious at some level, be wary? And so in the same way that Jesus, who has been teaching us the way of life, is saying there's likely going to be some people offering shortcuts, and you need to be alert to it. So let's look at what Jesus actually says here. We're going to go through two questions that just jump out at me as I read this. Is first, why is discernment so important? And second, how can we be discerning people? Why is discernment so important? Listen to Jesus' words again in verse 15. Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. A part of me wants to say, really, Jesus? Aren't you being a little bit dramatic here? Because we live in a world that says, I have my truth and you have your truth. Let's just live and let live. We have social media, which is the free exchange of ideas where we will read an article or watch a news report and we will click share without ever even thinking, maybe we should check the accuracy of this, if this is really true or what the source is. And that's the kind of world that we live in. Some have called it a post-truth era. Most of us aren't too concerned about being duped. Probably none of you have lost sleep this week worrying whether you were being discerning or not. And so Jesus' words wake us up that there is an urgency and even a danger here. He's saying, as God's people, the metaphor is that we are sheep, is that there may be people who you think you can trust, who look like you, who sound like you, and are very convincing. And I want you to be wise enough and discerning enough to realize that what they're saying matters, that ideas matter, that information matters, that news matters, that truth matters. Well, are we in a post-truth era? Does truth really matter? We could, of course, do a whole sermon on that, but haven't we seen in the last 2 or 3 years that fake news has influenced elections, it has defamed character, it has incited unrest, and it has fueled fear? And Jesus is saying, watch out for false prophets. The first implication is those who might claim to speak for God, those who are teachers or preachers or claim to speak with some authority from the scriptures. Is you need to be alert and you need to be discerning about what they're actually sharing with you, because ideas matter. Back in the early 1900s, leading up to about 1950, parents were advised not to hold, not to rock, not to kiss, not to play with their children. They were advised not to show too much affection to their babies. Did you know that? There was an idea that the children in the hospital who were picked up oftentimes were more susceptible to infection, to viral infection. I see we have a pediatrician in the audience here. We could call him up and ask him about this. This was the advice that was given. Psychologists suggested that a child that is coddled too much, shown too much affection, will not grow up strong and independent. So they should be left to self-soothe. The only problem was that people who ran orphanages and people who worked in hospitals started realizing something, that children were actually starving, not for physical food and sustenance. They were starving for love, for touch, for emotional engagement. These children were literally dying. And Harry Harlow came up with this fascinating experiment where he had baby monkeys, and they were given a choice between two mothers. I think we have a picture of this up there. There it is. And one of the wire mothers was able to give the monkey milk. And the other mother, let's say, was not able to give any milk, but was wrapped in this really comfortable terry cloth kind of material. And I would ask you, which one do you think the monkeys chose? But that would be fairly obvious given this picture. Is time and time again, the baby monkeys chose the terry cloth covered mother. This was a sign that what babies need and what they crave is much more than just milk. They crave attention and affection. And we now know that the establishment had it wrong. That what a child needs almost more than anything else is that emotional engagement, that is so crucial for their development emotionally. And here's my point with that fascinating experiment, is that what someone teaches us, especially when that someone's in a position of authority, can actually shape our lives and our destinies. And so Jesus is saying, pay attention to those who influence you, to the authors, to the speakers, to your life group leaders, to what you are exposing yourself, to the influencers in your life, because their ideas really do matter. Those ideas can lead you to life, to a flourishing of life, or those can lead to the deterioration of life. Here's the question that we need to ask is, does this align with the teachings of Jesus? Does what I'm hearing align with the values of Jesus? And we can do this not only in a spiritual context, but with our political leaders too. We can listen to new policies and speeches, and we can say, Is there any alignment here with some of the big macro ideas we read in the Bible? A God who is a God of compassion, a God of justice. Now, I know over the past few years, there has been a lot of talk about the plight of refugees. And politicians have gone back and forth about what are the best solutions to care for refugees. And I don't want to pretend to give a talk about refugees. I get it's a complex issue. There are nuances and complexities. But here's what we have to ask ourselves as discerning followers of Christ is, do the policies that this leader is preaching, do they reflect God's heart? Does it align with God's message of tenderness toward the most vulnerable? Did you know that in the Bible there's what's called the quartet of the vulnerable? These are people that are emphasized over and over again that God calls us to look out for. Who are those people? Widows and orphans and foreigners, refugees, immigrants, and the poor. We read in Leviticus, when a foreigner lives with you in your land, don't take advantage of him. Treat the foreigner the same as a native. Love him like one of your own. Remember that you were once foreigners in Egypt. I am God, your God. Does the teaching that we're listening to, the ideas that we're being exposed to, do they resonate with this great call in the scripture to love God and to love others? Is it aligned with the teaching of Jesus or not? Well, second, Jesus says that not only is discernment crucial in our lives, but he tells us in this text about how we might be discerning people. Verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Verse 20, by their fruit you will recognize them. So here, friends, Jesus is giving a litmus test to know about what we're hearing. A litmus test by which we can look at authors, leaders, those who would influence us, those who we listen to. It's a kind of litmus test. He says, you'll recognize them by their fruit. And fruit in the scripture always refers to character, to our character qualities. So Jesus is saying, not you'll know them by their gifts. You'll know them by their talents. You'll know them by their charisma. He's saying you need to look not at those things, because you can be fooled by those things, but you need to look at the fruit of their lives. The fruit of the Spirit, says Paul in Galatians, is the kind of effect that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So to be discerning people, we ask, what is the fruit that I see in this person's life? Do I see defensiveness? Do I see anger? Do I see pride and impatience? Do I see aggression or bullying? And if so, we need to be very wary. We need to stay alert. Now, of course, no one's perfect. No one's living this out perfectly. All of us still stumble, don't we? But there's a difference. Some of us stumble forward. We are attempting to live for Christ, and we never do it perfectly, and we fall and we fail, but with humility we get back up and we continue to pursue Christ. So Jesus is saying, is there evidence of that, that kind of fruit? Another word that we might talk about today is the word integrity. Do those that we listen to and follow have integrity? And integrity comes from this word, this meth word, integer, which means a whole number, not a fraction, not a decimal. Is there an undividedness in our lives, a transparency that we're the same on the inside as on the outside? We're not trying to fool anyone. We're not a wolf in sheep's clothing. There is real integrity, same inside and out. Those are the people that Jesus is saying that you need to look to, that you need to trust. Look at the fruit, not at the gifts. Friends, we're living in a time where we may hear one of our leaders espouse certain ideas, and we may look at them and say, I know they're deceptive. I know they're lying. I know they have been accused of harassment, that they mistreat the people around them, but I really like their ideas, and so I'm willing to overlook all those things. And Jesus is saying, be wary. You need to look at the fruit of their lives. That is a better indicator of whether you can trust them or not. Now, this is not only applied for our teachers, our influencers, our life group leaders, but I think this applies to us because many of us are in a position of influencing others. Maybe you're a parent, an aunt or an uncle, a mentor. Maybe there's people at work that you supervise and you have influence in their lives. And this is a call for us that Jesus is saying, not only do ideas matter, but integrity matters. Integrity matters. That who we are speaks much louder than what we say. You know, I think about this on Father's Day. We have four kids, and we have three teenagers, and maybe this just happens in our family, but our family loves their screen time. They love their time on the phones, and every once in a while as a dad, it seems like it's a little bit excessive. And so sometimes in the most loving and gentle way, I will say, guys, you're on your phones too much. You gotta get off your phones. And the first time that I did that, I bet I can just, some of you could guess the response that I got. Here's what anyone want to guess how my kids responded to that? Anyone want to just throw out an idea? They ignore me. Yeah, that's on the top five for sure. This is what they said. I said, well, what about you, Dad? How much time are you spending on your phone? And in that moment, I was like, don't do what I do. Do what I say, not what I do. But of course I can't say that because, friends, that has no integrity, right? They were right. That what's going to speak louder than anything is my example. It's about integrity. So not only is Jesus saying, the people you're listening to and following, look at their fruit. Is there integrity there? But he's also saying to us, in your places of authority, of influence, what does that look like in your lives? Our followers would say, who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. So we, as with God's help, want to be people of integrity. Let me conclude this challenging text by giving you just a couple of takeaways. What do we do with this? Ideas matter, integrity matters, but what might be an action step? Well, friends, it occurs to me that if we're going to be discerning people, if we're going to ask the question, does this sound like Jesus? And does it look like Jesus? Does it reflect the teachings of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, and does it reflect the character of Jesus? Here's the obvious one, is we actually need to know Jesus. We need to know his teachings. We need to know what's important to him. We need to know his values. We can't afford to take an overly casual approach to Scripture that treats it as a kind of backdrop to our lives, but we need to be people who read it and study it regularly. We need to be people in our life groups who ask questions and wrestle and struggle with God's word. What is it saying to us? Yeah, I recently heard that bank tellers, as part of their training, get a seminar or a study in identifying counterfeits. And I would assume that the way that that happens would be that the supervisor would bring in a whole bunch of examples of counterfeit bills, and that they would study those bills, and they would learn what those counterfeit bills look like. And I wonder if, is there anyone younger in any of our Creo youth? I guess they're all out. Do I have any, now that I've shown you, do I have any volunteers? Just for a real quick demonstration, it's painless. You won't have to stand, you won't have to dance. I won't get you up dancing. Does anybody have a, okay, I'm just going to pick somebody. So I'm going to invite you to hold that, and I'm going to ask you in a few questions whether you think that is a real $5 Canadian bill or a counterfeit. I'm going to give you all the time that you need to study it, to smell it, to feel the texture of it, to look at it. All right, and then we're going to come back to you, and you're going to answer that. Here's what I would assume that one of the ways that we learn to be aware of false teachers is we study false teachers, and we learn what they're talking about and why that's wrong. That bank tellers would learn about all the counterfeits. Are you ready to make a determination on that? It's real. What kind of pastor would give out a counterfeit five and then trick you? What do bank tellers do? They actually don't study counterfeits. They only study the real thing. Their supervisor gives them the bills and the different bills, and they study those and they feel those. And they look at all the details and they get to know the real thing, the authentic one, so well that when a phony, a fake comes along, they easily identify it. So here's the big takeaway, friends, is we are called to stay alert to false teaching and false prophets by knowing the one true, real prophet, the authentic one, Jesus Christ, the truest of all prophets, the one who lived out the fruit of the Spirit perfectly, who embodied those things, and we're called to know what he teaches, to know how he acts, how he treats others, to know his deepest values. What were the things that Jesus talked about over and over and over again? To know the real thing, the real prophet, such that when we encounter false prophets and false teaching and misinformation, we'll be able to spot it. This is how we truly become discerning people. Jesus has been offering us the road to life. This is how you experience all that God has for you. This is how you flourish. It is not easy. It is a narrow road, and at times it is incredibly difficult, and yet it is the path to life. And he asks us, do you have the courage to follow me, to walk this path, to follow Jesus, the one true prophet? Pray with me, will you? So Lord, I do pray this morning that you would stir in us a desire for more of you. Would you stir in us a thirst to know you more, your teachings, your values, your character? Draw us to you. Help us to know the importance of your word, that we might know it and then live it. And lead us, Jesus, to life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.